To the great adventure. So let's just get quiet and allow yourself to move into that infinite part of you, the infinite nature of you, the all that is that connects you with everything and is already the answer that needs to be in this now moment. As we silently say the prescription for spiritual alignment together. I am aligned with the presence. We are aligned with the presence of God within. We are protected by God's love, wisdom, knowledge, and grace. The God consciousness within helps us discover more about who we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual intuition. Thank you, God, for aligning our conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds. And as we move into the desire of our heart to learn and to grow, to experience and to be, to move out of the same old into a new sunlight, a new dawning of a new day, we join our hearts in support for each other as we take the sometimes difficult steps of commitment and desire, and move our souls into a greater and greater awareness of who we really are. Thank you, Infinite Presence. Amen. Well, I hope you came this morning with a whole lot of excitement in your heart. And if you didn't, I know it will get kindled and generated because we're talking about one of the most exciting topics that I could even think about, and that is desire. Desire is the first lesson in the self-study lessons that Jane Elizabeth Hart and her students put together on the Center for Enlightenment website. Now, if you go to the website, on the top there's a taskbar, and one of those topics is self-study lessons, and you drop it down and there are, I think, 17 lessons that you can choose from that include journaling questions, they include videos and several questions and answers congregated into lessons, lesson one, lesson two, all the way up to, some of them have two or three lessons, some of them have as many as seven or eight. But each of these topics, karma, intuition, reincarnation, desire for today, each of these topics is explored at a greater depth than perhaps we were able to do when we were working with the Spiritual Power Tools book over the last 11 weeks. And so I'm excited about starting off with the very first step, which is desire. As I've heard Jane Elizabeth Hart say so many times, the desire of your heart is everything. The desire of your heart is the most important thing. Your desire sets into motion everything in your life. It creates that which you are going to experience. And I've heard her also say desire comes first. And that's why she put it first. Now, the way these lessons were put together is that Jane Elizabeth Hart recorded hundreds of hours of classes, lessons, public lectures, and private sessions, and they were then converted into transcripts, which then her students went through for certain topics and came up with these questions and answers, along with picking out videos and journaling questions. And then Jane Elizabeth Hart worked to edit with the students And in several passes through, re-editing and honing it and filtering it and sifting it through so that really what's left for each lesson is the essence of that topic. And this topic, which is desire, is the one that starts the whole ball rolling. I don't know about you. I don't know where you are this morning. We're all in different places, but perhaps you are like me at a crossroads, at a place where you are embarking on a new part of your journey or on what feels like a new journey altogether. And what does it take to begin a new journey? If I said to you, it's a good idea for you to travel to Cleveland, and you go, I don't know. I've heard good things about it. I've heard bad things about it. I kind of wanted to go, but finally you decide, yeah, I'm going to go to Cleveland. What's the first thing you have to do is generate the desire to go, to set into motion that cause, to insert a cause that you're going to take a journey. And you and I are on a journey as well. We're on a journey up the mountain of infinite consciousness to the summit of that infinite presence, that infinite self that is awaiting us in awareness at the top. And we're walking up this mountain together. We're journeying together. But as the old aphorism says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. The first step is desire. So get in touch with your heart right now. Let's cut through everything that the lesson is about and really get down to brass tacks. What is the essence of desire? But to go into your heart and ask, what is my desire? What is my desire right now? Wherever you are on your journey, every day is another step on that journey. But every day also gives you an opportunity to set into motion a new desire, to place your bet on your infinite self, place your bet on your soul, to place it down on that part of yourself that you want to see increase, that you want to see expand, your awareness expand. Of course, your infinite self was always there. Your higher self was there in the beginning of time. That's what you're created out of. The essence of your being is the infinite. And yet, something changes in your awareness. If your infinite self is always, was always, will be always, then what's the soul evolution about? What is the spiritual path about? What is your journey towards greater and greater awareness, self-awareness about? It's about setting into motion a greater awareness of what is already there residing in your heart, but covered over by all of the patterns and limitations of experience as you've evolved as a soul. And then you make a decision, a desire, to throw that off. You know, we protect ourselves with old beliefs. We've protected ourselves with old aspects of ourselves that were limited. But that limited self doesn't serve you anymore. As I shared last week, a friend of mine once said, don't let your shoe determine the size of your foot. And these old beliefs are impinging upon us. What is the desire of your heart that will move you and break you out of your shell and move you into an expanded awareness of what was already there, who you are at essence, what was placed at the beginning of time, but what must be expanded in your awareness? So this is an interesting paradox here. Just kind of try this on for size. That you were always, are always, will be always infinite. And yet you're expanding your awareness. It's growing and growing and growing of that infinity that you are. But it all starts with a desire. And you may find yourself this morning, or when you're watching this, at a crossroads, at a time when you get a choice. Am I going to play it safe, or am I going to put myself out there and place this bet on my infinite self? And it feels safer, doesn't it? Feels maybe more comfortable to just kind of hang back, to do what Jane in one of her videos this week calls the same old, that just wants the same old. But that's not what you were created to experience. You and I were created to experience a greater and greater awareness of who we are, and that's the most exciting journey there is. I don't know about you, but I've been disappointed a lot in life. When an election doesn't turn out the way I want it to, or when a personal experience doesn't turn out the way I want it to, or when it's raining when I want it to be sunny, or it's cold when I want it to be hot, there's all these disappointments in life that are conditional. Wouldn't it be wonderful to desire something that was unconditional, that could be yours, could be mine, thick and thin, up and down, rainy and sunny, that didn't depend on circumstances, a happiness that had no opposite, a love that had no rebound or no opposite, a joy that just never gave out, that, you know, they say, you can't take it with you. Well, this you can take with you because it's who you are. We have a lot of little desires, don't we? You've maybe desired, we were just talking before this class about desiring to go to a seafood festival, or desiring to go to a restaurant, desiring to get on my bicycle again after several months of not being able to because of a bike accident, and ride again. And these are all fine. But there's one desire that transcends all the lesser desires, and into which all the lesser desires that are a part of my heart, that are good for my heart, that I'm in alignment with in the essence of my being, all those little desires will fit into it. What is that one true desire? Well, let's just go back to desire, the word. The dictionary and in the lessons, you'll see that we opened up the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and it says that desire is a strong feeling or wanting to have something, or wishing that something would happen, a sense of longing or hoping for a person, object, or outcome. That seems rather mundane, rather everyday. But really, the words here are longing, yearning, hoping, wishing, wanting. And that energy of desire is what makes our evolution happen, makes the world go round, makes karma happen. And we'll talk more about that. But it's also that which uncovers the truth of our being. And once we're willing to set aside our lesser desires, in my case, the desire to be right or the desire to control, and we sit down for just a moment. Can you do that? Sit down for just a moment, those lesser desires, and go for what is called the pearl of great price. It's worth everything. You sell everything so you can have it. That great desire of your heart for the infinite, the treasure that's there for you, that you're willing to sell everything and get that one thing that has more value than everything else put together. In fact, it's the only thing that has value ultimately, because again, it's the only thing you can take with you. Throughout this lifetime, you're going to go to seafood festivals and restaurants and riding bicycles and meeting people and doing things. And those are all part of the third dimensional experience of life. But wouldn't you rather put your energy, your treasure, into the fourth dimensional desire that is there awaiting your heart. Wouldn't you rather take at least most of that energy that you've been putting into the trivial pursuits of the third dimensional life and put it into a desire that is worthy of you, worthy of your soul, worthy of the who that you are? Not play it small, but play it big. Not play it safe, but play it exciting, because this is the exciting adventure and journey of your whole being, the journey of the whole self. Now, you're watching this and you're studying these self-study lessons because you really have a desire to know something about yourself. You want to know about what people, you may have heard people talk about enlightenment and have a certain understanding of what it is. But, you know, hearing about enlightenment and reading about enlightenment and experiencing it are two different things. I've looked at many maps and tour guides and read many things and seen travelogues on Paris, France. I've never been there. I can have some kind of secondhand understanding of what it is, but you really got to be there to experience it. And haven't you found that the experience itself is so much greater and so much more? I remember when I first saw the Grand Canyon, or when I first saw Niagara Falls, which I really expected to be nice, but holy cow. Well, enlightenment is like that and a whole lot more. Enlightenment is the destiny for every soul. And that's what we can desire if we so choose. There's a part of you that desired to be in this class. You say, well, I don't remember doing that at some point in my journey, but perhaps 400 years ago when you were a nun, or perhaps 800 years ago when you were working in a monastery somewhere, or were worshiping somewhere, or doing something that had something to do with your best understanding of what was spiritual, you were placing into motion desires, desires that resulted in this journey, causes that have rolled out as the effect of this class. You and I have come together at this time, all of us, everybody in this circle, and everyone who is going to watch this, we've come together in this circle to study these teachings that Jane Elizabeth Hart has so carefully put together out of her lifetime of commitment to her truth of her being. And as we have come together to do this and to move together, we have an experience, we have an opportunity that we've never had before in our soul's evolution. You know, your soul, of course, evolved, but have you really thought about what that's about and how desire has played into it at every stage of the journey? The desire of the infinite, of what we call God, to experience itself and create individual expressions like you and me, evolving through the different stages of creation, such as the mineral life, that simple life that then evolves into the plant life that's very limited but has more expression into the animal life, that what's called the two-dimensional life that can only think instinctively, and then moving into what has been called the full flowering of consciousness, the human life, which then is a springboard on the journey to the infinite awareness of your infinite self. I remember once Jane talking to me about, it's like a trap door. And when you get to this point on your spiritual development, that you want that something more, that you're longing and yearning, which is what desire is defined as, when you're wanting and hoping for something more, a trapdoor opens up for us. That yearning, that longing for that something more, sometimes, quite often, shows up as a result of something that's painful or unpleasant, and we're looking for a way out of it. But you know what? The only way out of it is the way in, the way into the truth of your being. And so there's a trapdoor that opens up, and you can move out of the third dimensional human consciousness into the fourth dimensional infinite consciousness. Again, in the East, it's called Buddha nature. In the West, it's called Christ consciousness. It's called Atman. It's called all kinds of things, but it's the higher self, your higher nature. We need to demystify it. We need to get it out of the religious box. I only mention that because you've heard this in the past, and maybe it'll help. You can associate some of these things with something that's maybe a little more accessible. This is your higher self, your infinite self, and it's the truth of your being, and it's a part of you, and it is you. And that trapdoor is the desire that you make, followed by the commitment that you subsequently make to move out of the third dimensional limited. Even though it's the full flowering of consciousness, it's the full flowering of the third dimensional consciousness, which then we can open up into the fourth dimensional beingness that is infinite and which can hardly be spoken of. We've all had little experiences of this because we've had our lives animated by spirit or by the infinite self. And we've looked into a baby's eyes and seen a sunset and gotten outside of ourselves and loved when it hurt to love, but there was a part of our heart that wanted to. These are all parts of ourselves in our experience where this fourth dimensional consciousness is bleeding through. Would you agree with me that that desire is a worthy desire for your soul? You are worthy of this. This is what your worth is all about. This is what you were created to experience, to move out of the full flowering of human consciousness into the infinite consciousness that you are. And your choices, your desires, I should say, that you set into motion in past lifetimes and early in this lifetime, set into motion the possibility that allowed you to come into this class, into this series that we're going to be, for the next several weeks, going through exploring these self-study lessons. Now, why are desires such a big deal? Desires, your desires have a life of their own. Did you know that every desire that you hold to that is made with enough energy and persistence is fulfilled? I remember hearing and being outraged in my little intellectual mind by a speaker saying that every desire is fulfilled. And if you are 55 years old and you want to be a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, that you could fulfill it because every desire is fulfilled. And I remember thinking, that's just ridiculous. And then I learned that maybe not in the way this person intended, and maybe not literally, but in a very real sense, every desire is fulfilled in the fullness of time, but you might have to come back to experience that desire. And there's the rub. We're going to talk about that, because if you're setting into motion lesser desire after lesser desire after lesser desire that cannot be fulfilled in this lifetime, guess what? You get to come back and fulfill it, so that whatever the equivalent of being a Green Bay Packer linebacker is in your next life or a subsequent life, you get to experience it. I remember Jane Hart laughing about setting into motion the desire to have, you know, a 2021 Mercedes-Benz. And then she said, I'll have to come back in the year 2080 and have this rusted out, crappy hulk of a heap of a Mercedes-Benz that's 70, 60 years old, because that's what I set into motion. But have you ever thought about that? Your desires are what can move you into your unlimited self, but they also can limit you. The desires that seem like limitations in your life right now were limitations that you set into motion sometime in a past life or earlier in this life that demand their fulfillment. Your desires have a life of their own. And you say, well, what am I going to do about that? That sounds negative and kind of depressing. Well, you can let go of your lesser desires. And as it says, seek first that higher nature, that higher self. And your desire has to be so strong because for your infinite self, your spiritual desire has to be so strong because it can then dissolve the lesser desires and you can let them go. Every desire of your heart demands fulfillment. And so it's important to think over your desires carefully and make sure that that you don't set lesser desires. I remember hearing I believe it was Yogananda saying something about how his favorite thing to eat was strawberry shortcake, but he makes sure he doesn't desire it too much because he doesn't want to have to come back in a lifetime in the United States where the only place in the world that he knew of that had strawberry shortcake. Now, he was laughing when he said it, and there's something about that, but don't set into motion unnecessary lesser desires. And those lesser desires that you can identify, surrender them if you can. Surrender them. That's what I've been working on the last couple of days. And boy, I'll tell you, it's an adventure and a journey in itself. Letting go of lesser desires so that a greater, true desire of my heart can come forward, can take center stage. I'm going to ask you now, what is the true desire of your heart? And you can say, oh man, I just want peace of mind. What do you think peace of mind is? But the experience of the infinite, which is the only place you can experience peace of mind. Or you say, well, I just want love. I want to be loved. I want to love. I want to give and receive love. Let go of your limited idea of what that love is, because the only true love that you'll ever experience that can never be taken away from you is the love of your infinite self. That love that is unconditional. So understand that you are emerging into your infinite nature. And ask yourself the question, am I desiring something different than when I was younger? When you were younger, I know when I was younger, I had certain career goals and they changed from time to time. I wanted to have a certain kind of life. I also had some very limiting religious, or you could say spiritual, desires. Where in your life can you identify that you had a limiting idea? Well, it was okay for that time because it set into motion. Even a lesser desire has the kernel, the essence, the spark in the middle of it, of something greater. When Jane Elizabeth Hart was 4 or 5 years old and told her grandma that God's going to talk to me, and her grandma humored her and said, yes, dear, God's going to talk to you, until she reached maybe 11 and they started telling her God's not going to talk to you. That's just in the Bible. But she never let go of that desire. It was a primitive desire. It was a desire for something that was not a highly evolved view of God. But of course, she was a child, and also she was an evolving soul. Wherever you are right now, you have an understanding of the infinite, of God, of the true essence of your being. And that understanding is, by definition, limited, but you got to start right where you are. So rather than looking critically at your lesser understanding of a desire to know God and your lesser understanding of God, take what you have and go, yes, this is my understanding of my infinite self. You know, I was raised in a very progressive religious upbringing, or so I thought. But even I had, in my now present view, a very primitive idea of what God was I knew God was in me, but I still thought of that God that was in me as separate, kind of sitting there like a lump inside of me. I didn't know that I thought that, but that was really how I looked at it. Where in your life can you look at your spiritual desires and realize that you're ready to take another step and to expand, or perhaps that you have taken another step? Jane talked about how, as she began the path of mysticism or spiritual growth, of the personal experience of God, of the infinite, that she wanted to marry God. She wanted to be, and this is a very common image in mystical literature of all world religions, the marriage of the beloved and the lover and the beloved. And yet she realized that even that was a limited idea that, in a sense, chose to separate her from the essence of her being. But she said it got the ball rolling. It was a worthy desire. It was a desire that started the path, which she then backed up with commitment day by day. You know, every day of your life, you set into motion desires. You insert causes into the matrix, the web of reality, and then they roll out as effects, as the results of those desires. Today is a powerful day of a powerful choice for you to make. What one desire can you set into motion today with the support of this group? And asking yourself, have my desires changed over the years? Am I willing to let go of some of my material desires, knowing I'll be taken care of? You know, the old Bible quote about all the things will be added unto you if you have this one desire. So the one desire contains within it all the wherewithal you need, not to give you everything you want, not to give you everything that you like, but to give you what you need. So you can let go of your worry. As Meher Baba said, don't worry, be happy. And the only way to let go of worry and to be happy is to entrust your day-to-day desires to be fulfilled within the context of that one true desire. What is that desire in your heart right now? And how much do you feel that desire? The first and most important desire. And what is that? Well, you can see right now, as we're joining together in this circle, that this is the start of a new chapter in your life, a start of a new episode in your spiritual journey. The spiritual journey is not a material journey. It's not about gaining power and control over other people or having more and more things. That's what we see when we look out at the world around us and we see how it causes nothing but misery and unhappiness. You know, the old statement of the Buddha that desire causes all unhappiness is true, but he also said that you need to have that one desire. In his case, he talked about being awakened or enlightened, and that desire for that one something frees us from all the unhappiness, all the misery of the third dimensional life. The desire to know your real and eternal self, and then the continuous re-desiring of that every day. And how do you express it? Through meditation, through your observer self, through your recommitting to that path. And it's well worth your effort, and it is worth relinquishing every one of your lesser desires. So what do you need to do? What do we need to do to support this desire to move into our real self? We've got to know that deep down, there's something more. You know, there's an old song by Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? And that there's a point on our journey, either through a difficult experience, an illness or a disappointment or something that's painful, or through just not being satisfied, having everything that we wanted, but it didn't fulfill us, when we look into our heart of hearts and say, I know that there's something more. I may not understand it. I may not know what it means fully. I've got a limited and primitive understanding, but I know there's a something more. You know, my understanding of this something more, I know now, is even in this moment, somewhat primitive, somewhat limited, because I have not expanded my consciousness into the fullness of my being. I'm in the process of that journey. So hold your desire lightly and let it change and blend and merge in the language of it change. You know, there was a time when my desire was to know, love, and serve God. And now my understanding of knowing is different than it was then. Of loving is so different. And serving is so much more expanded. And my understanding of God is, it's just, it's not what it was back then. But that got my desire moving. And that was what came to me as a result of Jane sitting with me in that car of hers outside of the gates of Unity Village in Missouri, asking, what do you really want? She knew that to start me on this fourth dimensional journey, not the third dimensional religious journey that I was on, but the fourth dimensional journey, that I had to abandon the third dimensional desire and move into a worthy desire, a desire that was fourth dimensional. And that was where it began, at the limited level of understanding that I was. So right where you are, what is that desire in your heart? In this present lifetime, can you look back and see where you set into motion with a desire, that spiritual growth, that getting to know the who that you are, that resulted in your being in this class right here, that resulted in your being on the journey you're on right now? Were you in a Sunday school class and they talked to you about certain things that touched your heart? Or were you outraged at the hypocrisy when you reached a certain age of your religious belief and you thought, there's got to be something more? Either way, it set into motion this desire of your heart that led to where you are right now. And you're setting a new desire into motion today. Now, for each one of us, it looks a little bit different. As I said, for Jane, it was when she was a little girl. And many of us know that in our past lives, we had a desire. Maybe we just, you know, loved Jesus, or in India, we loved Krishna or Rama, or we wanted to do good in the world, or we wanted to experience something that helped people to hurt less, some desire that we had set into motion and built up what Jane calls the karmic credits, that is, built the energy into our karma that desire truly builds, that resulted here. And I'm going to speak for a moment about that. When you set into motion a desire, you really are creating karma. Every desire creates karma. And what is karma? It is, in essence, a pattern, a thought form that must play itself out in the third dimension. And yet there is a fourth dimensional result to setting into motion a desire, to inserting a cause that has a fourth dimensional effect, which is the spiritual. And so even if I was a little kid and I just, you know, I wanted to get to know God, as I understood God to be, it started the ball rolling. I'll never forget the woman who said in a class once that when it was presented to her that God was abstract and infinite, she said, well, then who's the old man with the beard that sits on the throne that talks to me when I pray? And all of her life, she'd seen this old man on the throne. And there were people in that circle that were outraged and horrified at the primitive view she had. But let me tell you, it worked for her. And before we can get all self-righteous about other people and their limited consciousness, my own understanding has been limited, even though I thought that I was very spiritually advanced. After all, this is what I did for a living, to teach, etc. But always we're growing into the something more. And when she broke out of that shell, she realized that was just a picture that her subconscious gave her to help her to get through her life. For you and for me, we can set into motion a desire right here and right now, and we may see where it all began, what circumstances led to your being on this spiritual journey. What language did you put to it? How did you talk about it? And how willing are you in this moment to let go of some of your lesser ego desires? And this is what we're talking about here, ego, the personal self desires, in order to grab hold of your greatest desire. I remember once having a meditation experience where I was going through a situation where I wanted certain things to happen a certain way. And it could have been, I can't remember if there's a dream or a meditation experience, but I was on a carousel and there was a brass ring like they used to have in the old days before risk managers told them they couldn't do it anymore. But you try to grab the brass ring, and at that moment there was a loud commotion behind me, and I turned around and I missed the brass ring. And what that told me was that my brass ring is my true desire of my heart, and I can't get distracted by the noise of the third dimension, the noisy stuff, the headlines and the incessant desires for material goods, to control the other people, to get them to do what we want us to do so we can feel safe. Oh, I know all those things because they're a part of my heart and my experience as well. Where are you willing to let go of a lesser desire in order to grab hold of a greater desire? When I say greater desire, how much of a desire do you need to have? I remember Jane talking in several classes about an experience she had very early on, in which it came to her in meditation that she had split desires 50-50. 50% of her energy of desire was placed into wanting to be a dress designer. And she had a real strong feeling that if she went for it, she could be very successful. She could move to New York. She could become a very successful dress designer. That was a desire. It was a good desire. You can't argue with that. The other 50% was a desire for enlightenment, to come into the truth of her being. And what came to her was, you need to desire the spiritual side, 80 or 90%. You need to let go of this other desire in order for you to fulfill this. Now, that's not for everyone. We all have to have careers. So everybody's not supposed to go out and quit their jobs and sit around in the lotus position chanting om. But for her, it was taking so much of her time. It was so that she needed to spend on her meditation, on her journaling, on her work spiritually. And for me, I was in the same situation. I was for 40 years a minister and still plan to be another 10, 15 years. And when it came all over me and I was leaving a class and I looked at Jane and I said, I could quit my job and I could move here. And 3 days later, it was done because all my energy was put into fulfilling my career desire. As good as it was, all these other things are good, but your desire to move always has to be stronger than your desire to stay stuck. Your spiritual desire has to be your biggest desire, because when those little desires will inevitably come up to try to be fulfilled, they'll try to work their way in. Your spiritual desire has to be so big and so strong that it cancels them out, or it dilutes them so that they can kind of work themselves out. That doesn't mean that you aren't going to have careers, relationships, things in your life, but they aren't going to be running you. They aren't going to be driving you. What's going to be driving you? The truth of your being. There's that part of you that is right now bleeding through and driving you forward, that infinite part of you. And it wants the fulfillment of your heart's desire and is ready to fulfill it. You know, when you set a desire for spiritual growth into motion for your infinite self, you get backup from the whole universe. You find that synchronicities happen, that things will come into your life to accelerate your journey. And you'll also find that everything unlike it will come up. What I've often said, I've heard said, love your desire brings up whatever's in its way. And so everything that's unlike that desire will come up. You've heard of, many of us have heard of second force. That's the second force that'll come up. And it's inevitable because you got to let those things go. They're there in your subconscious. They're part of that iceberg that's under the surface of your awareness. And so setting your desire is the first force. And the second force is that pushback from your subconscious of all those things that are saying, no, I demand to be heard right now. And then what we have to do is journal them out. We've got to forgive them. We've got to take them up the seven steps that you find in the Spiritual Power Tools book. And as you do that, you uncover more and more of the truth of your being. What we're talking about here is fanning the flame of desire within us. Jane calls her spiritual school, her spiritual organization, the Center for Enlightenment. And the reason why she calls it that is because the Center for Enlightenment is inside of you. And it requires that you fan the flame of that center in order to move into enlightenment. Today is your day to fan the flame of desire on your journey to greater and greater spirituality, to the greater and deeper connection to the truth of your being. And you're supported by these classes, by your spiritual power tools, by all the resources on the Center for Enlightenment website. There are literally hundreds of hours of videos and journaling blogs that you can use, and you can search by topics. So if something's up for you, just type it in on the website and see what comes up and explore. But more than that, the experiences of your life will conspire on your behalf in your favor. And sometimes it'll look like it's conspiring against you, but it's not. Sometimes you get that relationship or that job or that situation that challenges you to the very roots, but it's there to open up and uncover the truth of your being. You have all the tools that you need inside of you. And let's talk about some of those tools to use. As you go on this journey, as you set into motion this through this desire, your spiritual unfoldment, there's meditation. Jane always says that's the first one, the most important one, that you really have to spend 5 minutes a day to begin with. That's all. But make sure it's every day. Hopefully around the same time every day in the same location, so that you build that thought form, that energy, that where your subconscious sees that it's that time, it's that place, and you're ready to move. Another thing is using your observer self. That's standing back and watching yourself. Meditation really is using your observer self while you're sitting down with your eyes closed usually. But the observer self takes place for the rest of the day, where you watch your thoughts, watch your actions, watch your feelings, and observe. Forgiveness and releasing, doing the seven-step method so that you can forgive these things. Journaling so that you can write out and uncover the truth of your being, but also those things covering over the truth of your being. Patience and persistence and perseverance are also, I guess you could call them, tools that you have to use on the journey. This isn't a journey that takes place right now. Somebody bops you on the forehead and you're enlightened. Jane said if that was true, you wouldn't own it. It wouldn't mean anything to you. That instead we have to earn this with time. And it's an internally directed journey that we must, through patience and perseverance and persistence, Take the step-by-step process of unfoldment. So these are all the different insights. And what I want to invite you to do this week, in a free-flowing way, go to the lesson on desire, look at the videos, journal out the questions, do it more than one day, answering the same questions on a Thursday and then again on the next Saturday. You'll get completely different answers. Asking yourself in your journaling, what is your sincere heart's desire? How has your life led you to where you are right now on your spiritual journey? And also maybe a little autobiographical understanding of what kinds of experiences have you drawn to yourself or have you had on your journey that have led to your desire to get to know yourself and the truth of your being and to make your spiritual growth your priority. Well, we're getting ready for our time of meditation, but before we do, I just want to share that desire and commitment, which is next week's topic, are married. They are inextricably woven together because your desire must be backed up by your commitment. Your first force of desire then requires the commitment that comes when the second force of everything unlike that desire comes up into your life. And through persistence, patience, and the strength of commitment, you overcome as you make your journey up the mountain of consciousness. So let's close our eyes. Just allow ourselves to rest in our heart. Just let yourself rest in the truth of your being, in your heart. Rest in your infinite nature. It's so peaceful. It's so comforting here. This is a profound journey that each one of us is on. And as we move into our heart of hearts, we ask, what is my true heart's desire? And it's good enough, whatever language I put to it, because it'll change over time in my understanding. But right now, what's my best understanding? What is my desire of my heart? As I rest in my heart, I listen. I fan the flame of desire. I stand in the flame of my desire. And I feel the warmth, the energy, and the vibration, the light of my heart's desire. Whether it is to know myself in God, to awaken to the truth of my being, to experience myself as love, my understanding is unique to me, and I fan the flame my cosmic desire. Now, as we feel ourselves in our chairs and become aware of the presence of this room, allow ourselves to just gratefully accept whatever experience we have had. Our desire is sufficient. It's good enough. And we will move and dance and grow with our desire. Amen. Well, this will be an interesting week to see how the desire of your heart is unfolding and how you are being supported in it. We ask that you consider coming to one of our Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday question and answer support groups. The link's in the chat. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 Eastern and 11 Eastern on Saturdays. And you get greater support. It's a great way to move deeper on this journey and be supported by other people as well who are very committed, as you are. I know you are. I know you're committed. I know that because that's the desire of my heart as well, and I can feel your desire. Also, if you wish to donate to the Center for Enlightenment, I think we have fixed all our links, so they work now. And so just check it out if you'd like to support these lessons and this spiritual circle, Center for Enlightenment. Well, until Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday, or until next Sunday, thank you for being a part of this journey to get to know who you really are. And thank you for contributing your energy to the energy of all of us. And until then, bye for now.